We're going to continue from last week. Last week is really just an introduction to discuss this topic, and that is the use of a heter iska and how Jewish banks work. Jewish bank means either a bank owned by Jews in America, we'll define that in a moment, or anybody who does any banking in Israel, this is also relevant to them as well. Again, I really wanted to touch on heter iska because I think a lot of people are not aware of what it means to have a heter iska and that they need to have a heter iska in some situations, and particularly in the complicated world of banking. Now, I can't go into every single issue of banking. What I can do, hopefully, is by the end of the next half hour, is that at least you'll understand how a heter iska that we discussed last week applies to modern banking, and that you should be aware of. If you're banking in certain banks, if you're banking in Israel, anything like that, you should just be aware of the concept, and it should be on your radar. I assume everybody here was in the shiur last week, and everybody remembers what a heter iska is, but just essentially to review, we can't lend, in Judaism, we're not allowed to lend with interest. So what we do is we essentially have a legal fiction called a heter iska, which we turn the loan into an investment, that the person who gives the money, the lender, is an investor, who gives that, and the person who takes that money is not the borrower, but more the person who is activating the money and investing it and deciding what to do with it. And they split the costs, which then comes back in a profit, which is not interest, but rather the profit on this business deal. So the Gemara in Bava Metzia explains that Chazal established the concept of an iska, this business contract, for the individual to make a profit from his cash. So your cash isn't sitting around doing nothing. And this is done again by lending the money as an investment, and they understand that even though the money is being lent, the lender is going to take more money than he gave away with in this investment. Now, nowadays in modern banking, this arrangement becomes even more complicated because the lender often doesn't know the borrower, and the lender doesn't truly want to make an iska with the loan that he's going to be giving away. And at the end of the day, the bank's going to be taking interest on what was lent. So therefore, how do banks fall into the system of a heter iska? That's how banks make money. Banks may make money by borrowing and lending money. That's how the whole system works. So if you're a Jewish-owned bank, which we'll define in a moment, or you're an Israeli bank, so how does that work at the end of the day? So I just want to quote from Rav Yaakov Bloy. Rav Yaakov Bloy writes in his Sefer Bris Yehuda, which is considered, you know, a modern classic on the laws of Ribbis. So Rav Yaakov Bloy says that shekemat ein lecha adam bizmaneinu she'enu misasek im habank. There is no one nowadays who can avoid dealing with a bank. It is impossible to not be involved in some way with banking. And therefore, we need to figure out how it's going to work. Now, one of the main profits of the bank is to lend the money to every person who needs. And the bank has its own equity, as well as raising capital, you know, from private individuals. And thus, the bank plays an important role in the economy. And it mediates between those who have money, those and they don't need it immediately, and those who want to use this money for a variety of purposes. And the bank pays depositors a low interest rate and charges the borrowers a high interest rate, and the bank earns the difference between the two. So the banks, as we know them, are really an outgrowth of the economy of the last 500 years or so. And we already actually have a concept of banking in Judaism. If anybody's learned, you know, any Gemara, any Mishnayos, you've heard the phrase of a shulchani. A shulchani was the banker who would exchange and engage of in different monies, you know, near the Beis HaMikdash. There's actually a fascinating comment of Rav Yaakov Emden in his Hagos Yaivitz on the Gemara in Bava Kama and Daf Tzadi Ches Amud Aleph, where he refers to the person who is Havelo Maos Bekistera. And a Kistera was the banking system that was in Venice, Amsterdam, Hamburg, and all these major Jewish systems. They already had this concept of engaging in banks and the system of interest and loans already hundreds of years ago. Now, before we continue, what you should be asking yourself is, well, what makes it a Jewish bank? They serve gefilte fish and they wear a shtreimel. What exactly makes a bank a Jewish bank? So, there are three possibilities. According to the poskim, if the majority of shareholders are Jewish, then it's a Jewish bank. That's the first thing. If there is a significant minority who have a certain level of influence, so that's the machlokas haposkim. In America, we are generally machmer for Rav Moshe Feinstein, who feels that if you have a significant majority, a significant minority stakeholder in a bank and an institution, then it becomes a Jewish institution, a Jewish bank. If there's an insignificant minority and they don't have influence, then that's not a Jewish institution. So those are the three options. Now, besides for Israeli banks, which are all Jewish-owned, there are some Jewish-owned banks in America. We're not going to give any free publicity to any of those banks, but certainly in the Tri-State area, in New Jersey, a few Jewish-owned banks as well. And for a while, still, the owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers is Jewish, and his loan company has a lot of issues with Heter Iskas, and there's always a big discussion what to do by lending from his taking loans from his company, because he is certainly a Jewish shareholder and owner of this this loan company. So, but again, that's not for right now. So, what do we say about a Jewish-owned bank? So let's go from the lenient opinions to the machmir opinions. The Tshuvas Maharal Shagan, Yerodeh, and Siman Gimel, and Siman Hay. So he says that it is mutter to lend with ribbis, with interest, to a Jewish corporation because there's no private ownership in the members of the company. Nobody owns it. It's a corporation. This is repeated. He has a Talmud of Moshe Nassen Lemberger in the Torah Journal Noam and Chelik Beis, who says it's mutter as well to loan to a Jewish-owned organization. And this is the corporation. And this is the opinion of Moshe Feinstein, Gros Moshe Rodea, in Chelik Beis and Simon Samach Gimel, who says that it's mutter for a Jew to lend to a bank with ribbis because there's no shibud haguf from the corporation. What is the corporation? It's not a person. It's an entity. So if I can't point to the CEO and I can't point to the to the bank teller, so nobody owns it. It's a corporation, therefore you're allowed to lend with interest to a Jewish-owned corporation. However, says Ramosha, it's usher to borrow from a Jewish-owned bank with ribbis. You can lend, but you can't borrow. We're not going to get into why right now. However, the Tshuvas Chalkas Yaakov and Chela Gimel and Simon Kuvtzadi, he says that you can borrow from a Jewish bank as well. No problem borrowing from a Jewish bank. And this is based on a Rashba. The Rashba says that this money has no known owner. Who owns the money? Can I walk into the bank and point to everybody and say, you are the owner of this money? There's nobody. It belongs to the corporation. And he cites a tshuva of the Ragachover in the Tzavtas Panach and Simon Kuf Pei Dalet, who says that the bank doesn't have Isser Ribis Mida Raisa, prohibition of lending with interest in the Torah, because the bank owners only have control of the money in the bank at that time. And it's not even clear who has control of that money. It's not clear to say that this person is the director of that money. Radayin Weiss in the Minchas Yitzchak in Chelek Dalet, so he cites the Safnas Panach, and he argues that this shouldn't be relied upon. It's a bit of a stretch. And nevertheless, it can be used when dealing with Ribbis Derabanan, rabbinic prohibitions of lending with interest. And Rav Yaakov Blay says that one shouldn't use this heter, and there's no heter to borrow with ribbis from a Jewish-owned corporation. Rav Asher Weiss says that you can say that a corporation is not achicha, it's not your brother. The Torah says, in last week's parsha, lo sashich la'achicha, you shall not lend interest to your brother. Is a brother your bank? Is a bank your brother? Is that achicha? It's a funny thing to call the bank achicha. And therefore, Rav Asher Weiss sees a leniency possibly because a bank is not achicha. It's not what the Torah refers to when it said your brother. The Rashba already entertained the possibility of an institution having many directors and no owner. And he said that it was mutter to lend with ribbis. Rav Asher Weiss cites that as well. However, there are some Rishonim who disagree on this account. On the other hand, those were lenient, those who were kind of in the middle, and now let's go L'chumra to those who say you certainly cannot have any lending with a Jewish bank. That's Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank in the Har Tzvi in Yerodea in Simen Kuf Chavav. He says that a corporation has an Isser Ribis Min HaTorah, from the Torah. As long as the owners can determine policy for the corporation, they are considered the full owners. And most poskim seem to agree that there is at least Ribis Midirabana, a rabbinic prohibition of lending with interest when lending with the corporation. The Minchas Yitzchak says this, Rosh Shlomo Zalman Arbach writes this in Minchas Shlomo. There's a Sefer Kuntras Hilchas Ribbis as well, quoting Rav Yashiv. Rav Yaakov Blay says this in the Bris Yehuda, Rav Nissen Kareltz, and many, many Svarim as well supporting this, that there certainly is at least a rabbinic prohibition to deal with interest, either lending or borrowing from a Jewish-owned bank. Lamaisa, practically, because of the possibility of ribbis, the custom has been to make a heter iska with a Jewish-owned bank. Now, Rav Avadya Hadayah in the Tshuva Simchas Koh Nechelek Zion says that when the Bank Anglo-Palestina, the English Bank of Palestine, was established by the British, so, and it opened, Rav Shmuel Salant, the Rav of Yerushalayim, created a Shtar Heter Iska for this bank. And this is what those people dealing with the bank used, and the rest of the banks in Eretz Yisrael follow that policy to make this heter iska for all the Jewish-owned banks. Now, nowadays, most financial institutions in Eretz Yisrael, banks, insurance companies, you know, funds, mutual funds, credit card companies, all use what we call a, and this is an important phrase to know, to differentiate, a heter iska klali, a general heter iska, which allows them to lend money and borrow with ribbis. The bank does not, if you walk into Bank Hapoalim, you walk into any Jewish bank in Israel, unless you ask for, and we'll talk about that in a moment, they do not write out an individual heter iska for you. They're not sitting you and say, here's the loan document and let's bring out the heter iska. That's not what they do. There's no specified one. The Bris Yehuda explains that the directors of the bank are designated over all the bank transactions, lending and borrowing, and they use this general heter iska with every transaction. And the heter iska is made known to every person who borrows and lends from the bank. How do they do this? If you walk into any Israeli bank, on the wall, framed, will be the heter iska. And it kind of says, you know, it's kind of like, you know, clicking on the terms of a service, like for your Apple, your iTunes. You kind of like know it's there. You don't really read it. But it's like you made known to there. So you walk into a bank in Israel, on the wall is a framed heter iska. Maybe you read it, maybe you don't. But the bank says, like, that's what we're relying on. There's no conversation. And that's kind of what they do at the end of the day. A heter iska klali, a general heter iska, is what is used in these banks. Now, where did the heter iska klali come from? Who invented it? The invention of the heter iska klali comes from the beginning of the 20th century. At that time, most banks in Europe were owned by Jews, and they were lending with ribbis. This is not to, I don't want to get into any anti-Semitic tropes, but a lot of the banks in Europe were owned by Jews, and they lent with ribbis. So Rav Zriel Eiger was the Rav of Lublin. So he came up with an idea of being Moser Moda. What does Moser Moda mean? You all do it. And you're about to do it in a couple of weeks as well. Everybody here is Moser Moda. Moser Moda is, being Moser Moda is the concept that we use by Hataras Nedarim on Erev Rosh Hashanah. What do we say by Hataras Nedarim on Erev Rosh Hashanah? We say everything I might have done in the past, should be a neder, I should let the neder go. And we also are Moser Moda, we state for the Beis Din that any Nedarim made going forward, we don't mean, and we don't really mean to keep them. And we have a type of language to get out of it and to apply it or to not apply it. Now, says Rav Zriel Eiger, we can declare that any borrowing and lending of money is actually a heter iska going forward. You simply get up and you announce, whatever I do for the rest of my life, any lending or borrowing is really a heter iska. Wipe your hands of it, and that's it. And you don't have to think about it ever again. Now, he didn't want to make this psak by himself. I think we can all imagine that that's a pretty radical thing he just did, right? You essentially, you know, pull out a get-out-of-jail-free card, and you say, whatever, all this is a heter iska from the age of 20 to 120, and that's it. I'm done. You know, I don't have to worry about Hilchos Ribbis anymore. So we sent the shaila to other rabbanim, and he collected all their answers in a sefer called Takanas Rabbim. And some poskim agreed with the idea and the concept. However, and there were a number of howevers to try to fortify what Rav Zriel Eiger wanted to do. The first issue is that if you later renegotiate the loan, later on, and you use terms to show that this is a loan and not a heter iska, so then what did you just do? You essentially just said, everything I did before is not really true, it's really a loan. So Rav Aaron Cutler and Rav Zalman Meltzer felt that by doing this and using the words loan and interest, you're showing that it isn't a heter iska. What does that mean? Every single time you renegotiate or you use the expression loan and interest, you're showing that it's not really a heter iska. The second issue that was raised is that you can't be Moser Moda. You can't simply put out and broadcast a blanket statement about all of your financial transactions once in your lifetime. That's a bit of a stretch. I don't think that would hold up in many places, in many situations. So rather, what they suggested is that every year you should renew the moda, every year you should renew the broadcast, and every year a Jew should go to Beis Din during Aseres Yemei Tshuva and write a Heter Iska Klali for the rest of the year. Because, now it's Aseres Yemei Tshuva, people are kind of, taking a spiritual inventory. So they said once a year, every person should write a Heter Iska Klali. Others said, no, not a good time, because honestly, how many Jews take Aseres Yemei Tshuva seriously? Not that many. But do you know what time of the year every Jew shows up to the rabbi? When? When does every Jew show up to the rabbi? New? Nobody's? What? Pesach, Mechiras Chametz. They said Mechiras Chametz. So they said every year, by Mechiras Chametz, you should come with your shtar to Seder Chametz, and you go to the rabbi to get a Heter Iska, because more Jews will show up. Others said it should be printed in the Machzorim after Ataras Adar by Rosh Hashanah. I've never seen that in a Machzor before. Another said that any city that uses a Heter Iska Klali, the rabbi has to get up once a month and give a shiur in Hilchos Ribbos. All different types of ways to kind of seal up this Heter Iska. Now, another issue was, how is the other party in the loan going to know that you wrote a Heter Iska? So you say, everything I do is Heter Iska. And what about the guy who's borrowing from you, who's lending from you? What does he know about that? So what they said, one of the Rabbanim suggested was, is that every city should publish a list of all the people who signed the Heter Iska Klali, so you'll know who to do business with. Meaning you'll only do business with these people who signed the Heter Iska Klali, and therefore that'll take care of all these issues at the end of the day. So the idea of the Heter Iska Klali was born. It is clear that it's a bidiyeved, that it's not an ideal situation. And the poskim are clear that lechadchila you must speak out that this individual alone is really a Heter Iska, or you should write out a private Heter Iska. Now, the banks in Israel have this Heter Iska Klali, whether you like it or not. Can it be relied upon? And is there room that we should know that we should be extra careful to have our own Heter Iskas when dealing with Jewish banks? The Jewish banks in the Tri-State area that are owned by Frum people, so they will tell you to write a Heter Iska. Generally, b'darachal, they will inform you if they see, the way you look, they'll say you're interested in a Heter Iska when lending with the bank. So Rav Nissen Karelis writes in the Chodshani, the Bris Yehuda of Blai, the Shari Halacha, all note that there are serious questions about the Heter Iska Klali of a bank. We already raised one of them, but let's go through, 7 or 8 different issues with the general Heter Iska. The first thing is that the bank is a very large financial institution. It has no real desire and discretion to make a deal with the borrower, and it's really interested in getting the loan and interest, and not too much, and there's a considerable harama going on here. Do you really think that, Bank Hapoalim is interested in your, investments and wants to go into business with you? No, they want to make sure that, everyone's going to be transacting and sharing money. After all, the bank is not going to check the borrower's business to see if they're profitable, right? Does the bank check in on your, crazy idea for a robot to see how it's going? No. The bank only cares about one thing. Are you going to pay at the end of the month? They don't care if your business idea is necessarily going to make it or not. If they think that you can pay the bills at the end of the month, the bank's going to be okay with you. Another issue is that often the owners of the bank aren't from, and they don't even want a Heter Iska. You have some secular Jew who doesn't even know what a Heter Iska is. He's not even interested in it, and he doesn't really believe in it. On top of that, the bank does not have a halachic department for ongoing consultation of all the bank's activities if it's permitted under Ribbis. I've yet to walk into a bank, even a Jewish-owned bank, that has a special officer that says, Vad Halacha of the bank, discussing all the halachic issues. There are some financial institutions that do have dayanim on their payroll that I'm aware of, but nevertheless, it's not a standard thing. There's only a legal department where the lawyers consider the state laws and the government laws and things like that. So who exactly is looking over or caring about this Heter Iska? Many bank branches do not allow the customer to sign private Heter Iskas in Israel, even though they require the customer to sign the long paperwork of the bank rules. In most loan documents, it's not written that it's according to the Heter Iska. And it's also written in the bank's computers that the borrower received a, quote, loan at interest in the agreed percentages. And there's no mention of the halachic term of the investor that the dealer received from this giver, the amount to the Iska, with an obligation to share profits. I promise you, if you check all the bank computers in Israel, there's nothing about any investing going on over there. So generally, a Heter Iska doesn't need to be written. However, when there's another loan document that says that there is, quote, a loan, then you need to write a Heter Iska to clarify the promissory note and to show that it overrides the loan document. The Chassam Sofer says that you should write at the bottom of the page of the loan, Ayin Pei He Ayin, Al Pi Heter Iska. Other people would write on the back of the loan document the Heter Iska as well. So the rule is according to the poskim. If you have written out a loan document with a promissory note, you must write an equal note stating a Heter Iska, or else the loan document is simply going to override your verbal statement. And therefore, perhaps that thing on the wall, the bank, is not enough. Also, sometimes you ask the bank clerk when signing the mortgage, what's the meaning of a Heter Iska that hangs on the wall? What's the clerk going to tell you? It's not related to you. It doesn't obligate you in anything. The main thing is the signing, receiving of the loan according to the agreed interest rates. You know, stop hacking me a chinik. The Bank of Israel is the supreme authority in all the banking activities in Israel. And who's going to guarantee that the Bank of Israel is going to give full backing to that Heter Iska, particularly in light of the fact that they take into account the determination of the courts and not the determination of the Beis Din? In addition, in banks today, it is customary to rely on the general Heter Iska, and there's controversy as to whether the general Heter Iska, as we said before, is beneficial or not. And, you know, is it lechatchila, not lechatchila? And the bank lends in ways in which the Heter Iska may not be useful. We're not going to get into issues right now of overdraft, early interest, guarantee fees, things that complicate all these different types of issues. And therefore, for all of these reasons, Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel, Rosh Yeshiva of the Mir, would not do any business with banks for the Mir Yeshiva, because he was so nervous about involving himself in any of these things. The Mir Yeshiva did not do any lending or borrowing with banks in Israel because they didn't want to get involved in these things. And this, we said last week, the Rav Benish Finkel did this as well. And Rav Nosson Tzvi got this from his relative as well. And when they told Rav El Yashiv this, so Rav El Yashiv said about Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel, Zehu Yarei Shemayim Amiti. This is a real Yarei Shemayim, who really sticks to his principles and doesn't, make sure that he is very careful. So many poskim feel that when dealing with a Jewish bank, there is a hiddur. There is a proper level of minhag, of going the extra mile to use a private Heter Iska on top of the general one. Some even say it's a chiyuv. Rav Bloy in the Bris Yehuda says that one who wants to be machmer is what to rely on, and it may not even be a chumra yaseira, it might not be even extra chumra, it might be a proper chumra. Listen, Karelitz in his farm as well says there's so many issues with the Heter Iska klali that there's a chiyuv. You must make another private Heter Iska on top of that as well. So, b'derech klal, that is the general overview of Heter Iskas and banks. And my hope, my wish, is that next time we hear about Heter Iska, at least we'll know what's going on. And if we ever do any banking in the future, whether it be with a bank in Israel or a Jewish-owned bank in America, at least we should have in the back of our mind, or hopefully the forefront of our mind, that we need a Heter Iska, a private or personal Heter Iska, to cover all the bases and to get out of these issues of lending with ribbis. Lending with ribbis is a terribly severe isser. Often it's not spoken about because people get confused and complicated by all the details. They don't know what to say, they don't know what to do. But we do have a Kabbalah, we have a tradition that whoever ends with interest, so they will not be woken up by Tchiyas HaMesim. And the Chavetz Chaim writes, he writes in, I want to say the Avas Chesed, but I'm not sure if it's there. He writes in one of his Sfarim that we say in Shmon Esrei that Hashem is Machaye Mesim Berachamim Rabim, that Hashem brings back the dead with great mercy. So the Chavetz Chaim asks, Berachamim Rabim, great mercy, I don't understand. If you were a good person, so you get Tchiyas HaMesim. And if you weren't a good person, so you don't get Tchiyas HaMesim. What does that have to do with Rachamim? If you scored high enough, you'll come back. And if you didn't score high enough, so you'll stay in the ground. So what's the big deal over here? You know, just before I get to Chavetz Chaim's point, it's one of my favorite stories about Rabbi Akiva Eiger. There was a gentleman in Posen, a wealthy man who would lend and borrow with interest to different people. And they used to give him musar all the time for doing the wrong thing. They used to shout and scream at him. And he used to make people miserable, lending with interest and borrowing with interest. So the guy died, and the Chevra Kadisha came to take the body to bury it. So the Chevra Kadisha said, no, we're going to get this guy back. So they went to the family, and they told the family of this gentleman who used to lend with interest, you know, it's going to be thousands of dollars to bury the body, when it was only hundreds of dollars for the rest, or however much money it cost in Posen, it was an exorbitant price. So the family was furious. They were embarrassed. So they said, we want a din Torah right now before the funeral. Let's go to the Rav. Let's go to Rabbi Akiva Eiger. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger had heard the whole case, what to do about the man and the burial. The Chevra Kadisha wants to charge all this money. And the family says, it's ridiculous. It's not fair. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger thought about it, and he said, you know what? The Chevra Kadisha is right. Why? He said, because when you pay for a burial plot to be buried in the cemetery, when you pay money for the burial plot, so that's a short-term lease. Why? Because eventually you're going to come out of the burial plot and you're going to have Tchiyas HaMesim and you're not going to be there anymore. But your father, that's a long-term lease because he's not going anywhere. He's going to be there for a long time. There's no Tchiyas HaMesim. So it's going to cost more money for that plot. And therefore, the Chevra Kadisha is allowed to charge more money for this individual. So the Chavetz Chaim says, "Mechay Mesim Barachamim Rabim." Why? Because the laws of interest are so complicated and so difficult to get down perfectly that even if a person by mistake lends or borrows with interest, it could be that they are chayv in shemayim for lending with interest, and it could be, Rachman and his son, they wouldn't merit Tchiyas HaMesim because they didn't know that they were lending with interest. And the Chavetz Chaim is specifically talking about a Heter Iska, a person who relies on a Heter Iska, but he's not aware of what's going on, it doesn't work out, and the whole thing was done improperly. We have to be so, so careful to make sure that the Heter Iskas are proper and done kadas v'kadin to make sure that we can merit Tchiyas HaMesim and that our leases in the burial plots will be short-term and not long-term. Okay. We will...